there's no one like you. None like you. Oh. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No one, no, none like you. Say, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No one, no, none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? If our God, oh, and if our God is with us, oh, if our God, oh, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? Say, what can stand against? What can stand against? Yes, he is. Oh, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is he. He's awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God is greater. Our God, he's stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Oh, Father, we can sing the songs of Zion, Lord, worshiping You in Your great majesty, Lord, knowing that You and You alone are God. Father, we're grateful for Your amazing grace in our lives, Lord Jesus, to grant us this privilege of assembling again in Your presence, Father. Father, there's one missing tonight, Brother Marquise. Lord, he received a message, Lord, that his grandmother was rushed to the hospital earlier today, Lord Jesus. And Father, we want to bow our hearts before You, asking Almighty God that You'll move on the scene, Lord. That You'll move mightily on her behalf, Lord, to heal her body, Lord, where she is, Lord. Father, the work is already done, Lord, and we're believing You, Lord. Father, we don't know what condition she is in, Lord. We don't know if she can believe for herself right now. But You have made us kings and priests upon the earth to intercede for those in need, Lord Jesus. To intercede for the ones that we love, Father God. No doubt Brother Marquise has laid hands on her, Lord Jesus. And we touch and agree with him, Lord Jesus. Father, may the signs follow him, Lord. Oh, Father, and meet the need that she has, Lord. May the Holy Ghost come sweeping in the room, Lord, to raise her up just now. Oh, Father, we're so grateful that You are God. You're greater than anything that can stand before us, Lord. And we're grateful, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. Don't just heal her body, but her soul, Lord. Touch also his grandfather, Lord Jesus. And may Your blessings continually be upon them. Bless this service, Lord Jesus, as we have entered into worship, Lord. Father, we ask that You would anoint our pastor, Lord, in a special way. Helping him get himself out of the way, Lord, that You may speak through him, Lord Jesus, right directly to our hearts. Father, we love You so much. Continue to anoint, Lord, the musicians and this congregation and all that are listening in, that we all may be in one accord, that You may have the preeminence that You desire. We love You, Father. We commit this service into Your hands. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Nothing like the presence of the Lord. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. And as we seek His face, He is here in this place. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord.
Do you believe that this evening? Let's sing it again.
There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. No, there is nothing like the presence of the Lord. And as we seek His face, He is here in this place. There is nothing like the presence.
Amen. There is freedom in the presence of the Lord. Let's sing together as Brother Jack comes.
Freedom in the presence of the Lord. There is freedom in the presence of the Lord. And as we seek His face, He is here in this place. There is freedom in the presence of the Lord.
Come on. There is healing in the presence of the Lord.
There is healing in the presence of the Lord. There's healing the presence of the Lord. There is healing in the presence of the Lord. Nothing like the presence of the Lord. There is nothing like. Oh, there is nothing. nothing like the presence. And as we seek his face, he is here in this. As we seek his face, and as we seek his face, oh, he is here. As we seek his face, he's here in this place, here in this place. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. And let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather tonight. As we approach your word, we ask that you would minister to us. Speak, Father, in the only way that you can. Thank you for all the saints that have gathered, those that may still be on the way, and those that are unable to join us tonight but may be joining by stream. We pray that you would bless. So in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Y'all can be seated. Amen. Turning our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Praise the Lord as we continue our journey here through the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8, it reads as follows, says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. It's pretty, I think, obvious what's going on here. One of the things that we see this in church world, that sometimes the person would have a ministry and it's very successful, but then they decide that they want to keep the ministry in the family. And when the leader gets older, then they always try to get somebody from the family to run it. Y'all see that? It's pretty obvious even in one big church in Texas area. Hello, somebody. And we just try to keep it in the family. But when it comes to ministry, we have to understand it's not necessarily something that you have to try to keep in the family. You don't have to guard it. It's God that does that. If God raises up somebody in the family that can actually carry forward with it, then praise God. But if that ain't the will of the Lord, you can't force that. And Samuel certainly tried to, have the judgment go through his sons, but the scripture says clearly those boys were not like their daddy, right? And oftentimes we find when somebody tries to get someone from, the family to take over, and they're not like the parent. And the sad part, the real sad part, is that when, these boys may realize they're not like their daddy, then what they're going to do is try to change things and make people adapt to the way that they are. But you don't realize people actually came to the ministry based on what your daddy was doing. And the way God was leading your daddy, right? So it's very important, and I think it's very, anytime somebody's stepping into the shoes of somebody, that has gone on before them in ministry, you have to recognize the shoes that you're filling. That is of absolute importance. That you understand the shoes that you're feeling. If you don't have clarity on the shoes that you're filling, if you don't see the vision that was already there and you can't actually expand upon the vision that was there, not casting a different vision, but you have to, with the vision that was already there, try to move it forward. And if you're not able to do that, it's going to be rough. And we're going to see that here as we read this. One of the things that you always want to, I like to just talk about secession. A secession is something that should happen in a church. And it should be something that's very smooth. It should be something that people can recognize. God is in this person here. And this is the person that we need to be moving on with, right? I think it's one thing where a pastor needs to kind of help establish that. A pastor needs to say, I see God in this person. Let me tell y'all something. I know of a church right now that has been without a pastor for well over 8 years. The pastor passed away. And the pastor put everybody down. This brother ain't no minister. This brother ain't no pastor. And this brother ain't. He cut the people down, and he cut the leaders down in front of the people. The people lost respect. Right. And so now he's gone, and they ain't got no pastor. No pastor. And it's been that way for years. There is no vision in sight of actually trying to get a pastor. But they'll call preachers in every Sunday. Every Sunday. But no pastor, 8 years. I'm here to tell you that is not the will of the Lord, not the perfect will of God. No, that ain't God's will. So a pastor has to try to find somebody. And when you're on a team, I'm moving on here in a second, but when you are on a team, and if you're trying to win, championships, you want to get players on your team that's actually even better than you.
That's right.
You need players on your team that's better than you, because that puts you in position to win championships. But if you make it all about you, oh, you're going to have some problems, because you can't do it all. You can't. You ought to see what I would call a healthy church, when you see, some path or something that, a path that we could take to move to the next level. I mean, you want to see things like that in a church. So, but it's got to be the right person, according to the scripture that we're reading. It's got to be the right leader. Amen. Verse 3 says, his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. And there was another key thing there. If you are going into ministry and you're doing it because of how much money you think you can make, you're going into ministry for the wrong reasons. You're going in for the wrong reasons. I can tell you that right now. I know others that have been influenced by love offerings. They make decisions about, I feel led to go to a church because of the love offering. Mm-hmm. But when you get there, there is no more love offering. Look, the way that you approach ministry has got to be like, it's just, you got to trust God to meet every need. Amen. And I'm telling you, he is more than capable of doing that if you lean on him. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I won't let you down if you lean on me. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king. Now he could not deny what these fellows are saying as far as his sons. They walk not in his ways. It says, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Well, that's something. When you look at just this time of transition that they're in, and there's actually two bad decisions made here. One of them is Samuel makes his sons the judges, people that, two boys that the people would not respect. And because the people didn't respect it, then the people made a bad decision and say, give us a king. Two bad decisions. God is the one that raised Samuel up. God would have raised up the next leader if they would have just allowed God to do it, right? So he says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And that's very important. Samuel's so disappointed in what the people's conclusion was, even though he didn't have anything better to give them. But he was so disappointed. He took it so personal that they wanted a king there. He said, Lord, they rejected my leadership. And God said, no, Samuel. It's not your leadership. It's my leadership. The first king that Israel had was God. He was their king, right? So he says this, verse 8 says, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be the bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Now, that taking your fields here, Samuel's prophesying, but now later on in scripture, we know how Ahab tried to take the field of Naboth, right? So here Samuel's prophesying, but it was fulfilled. You know, a king would try to take your field. My. He would take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. I remember Brother Burley preaching a sermon one time, and he was talking about in marriage and how different things happen in marriage, and you know, and you go through some tough times. And he said, behold your creation. There's something you created, right? And now you got to deal with what you created, right? And here Samson's kind of telling them, he says, ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, right? This the one you wanted, and this what he gonna put you through, but you're gonna cry out to God because of your king. He says, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people, oh Lord, that's a tough one. Here, a prophet is calling out all these things. And at the end of his message, nevertheless, the people refuse to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, with all that he just prophesied, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battle. Man, look at, I mean, God the one fought them battles before. When he closed the Red Sea on Pharaoh's army, and I mean, all the supernatural things God did. And here they get to this point, and they say, no, we want a king to fight our battles. Man, this is something. It says, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. You know, this is connected to another passage, and let me just kind of see if I want to... Over in 1 Samuel 12, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but let's see here. I'll start at verse 20, for time's sake. But we'll hit it, you know, when we get to chapter 12. But I want to just read this out of this chapter. It says, Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. It says, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people. Now that's the promise, that even though you've done all this, it's against God's will, his perfect will. But it says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. And look at this. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. That right there just blesses my heart. It speaks to me as a pastor and as a leader that sometimes you go through things in church. People might do things that might be different from what you advised or whatever, but your heart has got to be that even when things go awry, amen, I'm not going to stop praying for you. But that's leadership, right? I'm not going to stop praying for you. I've been called to this, and I'm gonna keep praying right in the midst of it, right? You can never go to people and say, I told you so. Don't use language like that. That's the quickest way to lose folk in the church. You go tell, I told you so. No, don't say that. Let's just keep praying. God somehow can turn this around. God can make a mess a message. Amen. All right, let's pick up a few quotes here out of 1 Samuel 8. This first one is coming out of the sermon, The Rejected King. And we'll get started in a certain direction tonight, but I do want to kind of turn a corner with this, because we can tie what happened here in Israel's history also with church history. So we'll get there, but let's just look at it from this Israel history. And he says here in the Message, Rejected King, in the day of Samuel, the people were a great deal like they are in all days. They had come to a place that they wanted to be like the other people. And that is just simply a nature with people. Look at this now. People want to impersonate each other. If you'll go out and buy a certain kind of clothing or a certain automobile, paint your steps a certain color, and your house on your steps, porch steps, watch the neighbor. It says they just can't stand it. It says they've got to be the same. You go to a church and wear a certain kind of a hat that's a little different. Next Sunday, you have a lot of your sisters with that same kind of hat, if they can find it. Now he talking about his day, but let's bring it home. Is this where you get that from? Shein, Boy, they on the way to Sheehan so quick. And next Sunday. Glory to God, right? I mean, but this is the nature of people trying to be like somebody. That looked good on you. It might not look the same on you, sis. Praise the Lord. Just let her have that one, but you don't try to wear that. Amen. Right? God got something else for you. Amen. But he says it's just the nature of people. You like copying one another. And can I go a little further with that? Some of us are in debt because we've tried to keep up with the Joneses. Amen. The Joneses got an inheritance. That's why they bought what they bought. You got to wait for God to give you an inheritance. You just can't go out there buying up everything and trying to look like them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody get a new car? Well, we run into the lot. And I get it. I mean, if God got a blessing for you, go get it. If the angels stir in the water at that time, jump in and get yours. But don't go out there and get something that's way out of your price range. You know, hallelujah. A car is a car. It's got four tires. And it's going to get you from point A to point B. Hallelujah. And somebody said, well, I'm trying to go in style. No, go in a car. Amen, amen, amen. I'm gonna tell you, don't put yourself in such financial burdens and pressure like that. Your time is coming where you can get what you want. And I'm gonna tell you the best way to get what you want: pay your bills now, and pay them on time, because it allows you to get real good credit. And when you go out there to that lot with really good credit, you direct. You direct the traffic. And you, I mean, we done took them Dave Ramsey classes. When I know my credit good, you ain't gonna sell me just anything. Recently I went out to a lot and I said, I'm gonna just check and see what's going on here. And the guy said, well, start talking to me and everything. I said, yeah, man, look, man, I ain't done no homework. I shouldn't have told him that, because I was that right there. He knew that I was green and he was gonna try to take advantage of me. But I had already been pre-approved, so I knew, you know, what we were approved for. Now, my pre-approval, I ain't trying to spend that. Right. Yeah. I know what I'm approved for, but I ain't coming out here to pay that. But they done sent my pre-approval to this dealership. And so the next thing you know, I see they coming out with numbers that look like my pre-approval numbers. Man, y'all got to be kidding me. Y'all act like this is my first car that I ever bought. See y'all later. When y'all serious about selling the car, call me. But right now, I ain't got to have no car. Amen. I'm not doing that just to try to keep up with Joneses. I'm going to wait for my blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I did the same with my daughter. I mean, she was looking at car after car after car. She's sending me all kind of cars. I said, no, we're going to wait until it hit this number right here. And they would be $1,000 off, $2,000 off. I said, no, no, that ain't what we spoke. And I said, if they go in that office and they come back and they hit this number right here, we're going to walk out with this car. Well, they went in that office. They start doing their finagling. No, that ain't it. We're going to leave. Oh, wait. Okay. All right. This the number that we want right here. They come back out. She see that number on the paper. She look at me and smile. I nod my head. Go ahead and sign. That means your blessing it just comes. Praise God. All right, church. Let me go on. The prophet says, next Sunday, you'll have a lot of your sisters with that same kind of hat if they can find it. Somehow or another, they just want to act like one another. And that's a good thing if it's used right, if it's used in the right way. It goes on. She says, now, but these people in the days of Samuel the prophet, they wanted to act like the Philistines and the Amalekites and the unbelieving. It says, and they, because they seen their people was a little more fancy, and they were a nation of called out and chosen people, and they're not supposed to act like the rest of the people. God's people is never to act like the world. Here's another one. And let me just make sure we read this real good. God's people is never to act like the world. Here's another thing about God's people. God's people is not supposed to look like the world. Boy, I tell you, my pastor used to preach that. He say, if the world is wearing yellow, you wear green. You always do something so far different from what the world is doing. Amen. That's in everything we do. That's in the way that we dress. That's in our hairstyles. If the world is doing it, we don't want to do it. We're Christians, and we're supposed to look like Christians, act like Christians all the time. We're going to stand out all the time. Now, like Sister Michelle was testifying about being on the boat, and I'm always in a skirt. Yeah, 15 days, you're going to find me in a skirt. Ain't no sense in asking me that question every day. I'm not changing because I'm all the way on the other side of the world. I'm going to still be in a skirt because God gave me a revelation. Right? So I mean, we always going to stand out. We might as well accept that. And actually, it's usually the ones that stand out that that God appreciate the most. You know, they're standing against what everybody else is doing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I used to admire our sisters, Sister Tina and my wife and Sister Shonda. They used to work as crossing guards. And my God, and now it don't get that cold in Florida, but some days can get kind of cold. And they'd be out there on that corner crossing them kids in their skirts. And everybody come driving by, blowing the horn. Ain't you cold? Ain't you this? Ain't you that? Ain't no sense in asking me that. You're going to see me here next year, same time, same place, and I'm going to have my skirt on. But you know what? You don't know how many others that probably came by and saw them in that skirt and like, this is the way I used to dress. It means something to God when you got people that can stand out like that. The Hebrew boys stood out. Daniel stood out. We, as Christians today, we have to stand out and not be ashamed of who we are as Christians. Brothers, praise the Lord. You go play basketball, I know you can pull up and shoot a jumper. I know you can cross them, but do it in your long pants, not your shorts. Praise the Lord. Amen. I crossed them in long pants. That even make it even better that you crossed them in long pants. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says this. He says, they're not supposed to act like the rest of the people. God's people is never to act like the world or look like the world or be anything to do with the world. You are a separated people. The church are called out, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, altogether different and set aside. In all your actions, your habits, your ways from the things of the world. Now may the Lord help us as we study. He goes on. It says, but we find it today just like it was then. They came to Samuel. They said, now you're getting old. You're getting old. Your hair's getting gray. And we just don't know how much longer you're going to stay around. And now we want you to make us a king just like the Philistines has got. And like all the rest of the world has got, make us just like them. And it displeased the holy prophet of God, any prophet. If he's a prophet, he is for holiness and righteousness and the things of God. And he can't stand still. He's got to bring it out. Sometimes it costs his life, but he will bring it anyhow because God is in the person. And the pastor or prophet that really for God, if it hurts, he don't mean to hurt the people. He loves the people, but he's trying to save them. See, and why? This kind of upset the good old prophet that they thought he was too old to go on. We find out he lived for many, many years later. But he was a servant of the Lord, and in doing that, they rejected their real king, which was God. They rejected their real king, which was God. And that displeased the prophet, And he didn't want them to do that. It goes on here. It says, now Samuel, and our message represents the Holy Spirit. Now Samuel was the mouthpiece of God, and today the Holy Spirit is the mouthpiece of God. And today, instead of having all of our different fandangles in the church, God wants us to let him rule. No popes, not popes, bishops, and general overseers, and doctrines, and denominations, and everything. He sent the Holy Spirit to rule the church. It says, but we, like the people of old, we say, well, let us be like the rest of them. They got a great organization. Let us build up our group because we believe this. Now, the Holy Spirit never would have stood still for that. No, sir, the Holy Spirit wants us to have no fences, no boundary lines. He wants us to be one in him. We are children, brothers. God don't separate his children. Said, I'll give this one cornbread and beans and this one ice cream and pie. God don't do things like that. He doesn't do that. Let this one starve to death, and the other thing, he feeds them all at the same table, and the Holy Spirit should lead the church. And I like the way that Brother Randall just put that, because that gets into our family life, right? And I've mentioned this many times. You have to watch how you treat your kids, right? You can't show favoritism, no matter what those kids are doing, no matter what situation they're in. They need to be able to feel that love coming from you. Right, you can't show favoritism. Oh, and don't even use words like that. You my favorite. Now, if you got one son, you can easily say you my favorite son. You know why? Because he your only son. One daughter, you my favorite daughter, because they're your only daughter. Right? You can use words like that. But if you got multiple of the same sex, two boys, two girls, don't you use words like favorite. Mm-mm, no matter what they do. I mean, that's a quick way to bring division in a house. And not only division in a house, but it's division in family for years to come. Your family reunions won't be the same because of what you created. Praise the Lord. Treat them the same. And I love the way he said, now, he ain't going to give one cornbread and beans and then the other one over here with ice cream and pie. No. This one got cornbread and beans. Guess what you're going to get? Cornbread and beans. And when it's time to get ice cream and pie, we'll all eat ice cream and pie together. But I don't do them like that. Praise the Lord. Now, you might find that one might have a favorite candy and another might have a different favorite candy. Just get them both their favorite candy. But don't get one candy and the other one something else. You don't eat no candy. Don't do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. God don't do us that way. You don't do your children that way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. When it's time to buy my kids cars, they all got Hyundais. They got the same model Hyundai. Well, one daughter got one a little different. She had a Volkswagen Beetle that was a problem. It was a big problem. But that thing just shut off on you in the middle of you driving it. But you got to get your new car. Well, you're going to get the same car your sister got. All y'all got Hyundais, just different colors. Praise God. But that's how you keep it straight. Amen. All right. And when they can buy their own, go get whatever you want, whatever you like. You can have it. Glory to God. But if I got to buy it, all y'all going to get the same car. Amen. Let's go on to the next one. Spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham said, listen, let's bypass some of it. God's messengers always has been rejected. We're looking at this scripture, and it seemed like Samuel thought the people were rejecting him, but no, they were rejecting God. And he says, God's messengers has always been rejected. You believe that Moses was rejected. Is that right? Jesus was rejected. And Luke said in 10:16, if you want to write that down, rejected. 1 Samuel 8:7, God's message was rejected. God had a messenger, a prophet called Samuel, you believe it, rejected him and his message. Now you notice that they rejected him and his message. Now, and Brother Branham's, speaking this, and we look at today, there's many that has rejected the prophet and his message. And Anytime you can't use Brother Branham, whether you agree with him or not, if you can't actually say the word Brother Branham, you got an evil spirit. There's many that's rejecting him and say, and Branham said, put a brother on that. Put a brother on it. You know, not just Branham said, no, Brother Branham. It's a term of respect. That's how we talk to each other. I don't even like, you know, if we brothers and sisters, just don't call me by my first name or, you know, my last name. Put a brother on it. Brother Jack, right? I put a brother or sister on your name, right? But don't just call each other by name like that. And people that walk away from the message, the first thing, Branham said, no, wait a minute. Why you got to call it like that? Why you got to say it that way? That's an evil spirit that you got. Amen. Right? So, but Brother Branham telling that, you know, God's messengers have always been rejected. So it's nothing new. It's in scripture. They rejected Samuel as well as his sons, and they wanted a king, but they didn't realize they were rejecting God, who was their original king. They were rejecting him and wanted a king. They were rejecting God. So Brother Branham said, it's always, this rejection thing has always been there. Hallelujah. So God's message was rejected. God had a messenger, a prophet called Samuel. You believe it? Rejected him and his message. They took the world. It ain't nothing but the truth. It's happening all over again. They took the world. My God. And I've seen too many people walk away from this message. I mean, many have walked away, and I have not seen one hold to a holiness standard. Not one. I mean, and I'm talking people that I know have always lived holiness. I mean, even before the message, these were holiness people, right? I mean, they you know, right was right, wrong was wrong. I mean, would never put an earring in their ear. Never. Never, ever, ever do that. I'm talking before we even came to the message. People live like that. And then when we got to the message and got the fullness of the word, like, okay, this is perfect. But then leave this word and go into everything that you sit there with your mouth almost open. Like, oh, I can't believe, not you. But I'm going to tell you this. When you under a spirit, it'll take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It'll take you further than you ever thought you would go, and you don't realize you are under the control of a demonic spirit. My God, you'd be like, I believe it was Nebuchadnezzar, under the control of a demonic spirit so bad that he outside in the wilderness eating grass. Man was a king, man had it made. But a demonic spirit took control of his mind, and now he's outside, lost his mind, acting like an animal eating grass. And the man used to live in the king's palace. This is what a spirit would do. And it was only after the man got delivered from that spirit that he came back into his right mind, and then he could return to his palace. And it's many folk like that today spiritually. They was living in the king's palace, and now they're out wandering. Just going crazy. This word ain't nothing to be played with. Can I just be honest? This ain't Brother Branham's word. This is God's word that has been restored. The truth of the word has been restored, and that's what we're walking in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And for people to have all this animosity, you ain't even met Brother Branham. How you get so angry with him? You ain't never met the man one day in your life. He has not been able to sit down and talk to you about, this is what I meant when I said that. Right. You ain't got none of that. But yet you got all this animosity. Who is the animosity really against? You don't know him. You ain't got no animosity in somebody you don't even know. That don't even make sense. Who is the animosity really against? Think about it. I told you, or the Lord told you, Hurt people. Hurt people. And that's all it is. So God has to be the one to bring deliverance to hurt people. And he's able to do it. He can heal your hurt. This is the law of God. This is going. I don't know whether to say this or not. This is the law of God. God's law. Look at this. God's law is to receive a vindicated servant. Lord have mercy. I don't know if we got that. Ten Commandments are laws. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, these are laws. Commandments from God. You want another one? This is the law of God. Receive. And here's the other thing that, like, not just receive a servant. Receive a vindicated servant. And see, let me tell you who provides the vindication. God himself provides the vindication. And if you see God provide vindication, then what God wants, his law is receive a vindicated servant. I didn't bring the scripture up here with me, but there was a scripture, I can't think of it right now exactly where it is, but it says something like this. People were asking, how can we do the works of God? Man, they were so enthused about it. Man, this is happening, that happened. We want to do the works of God. And Jesus said, you want to do the works of God? To do the works of God, just receive him who God hath sent. That's how you do the works of God. Receive him that God has sent. And that's all we've done with this message. We received who God has sent. God himself said, behold, I send you, Elijah. We have received who God has sent.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Receive a vindicated law. That's a vindicated servant. God's law is to receive a vindicated servant. He says, let's just prove that a minute. I want to take one of the scriptures, John 13, 20. He says, I got something wrote down. I get in my head just, oh yeah. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whoever I send, he that receives whoever I send receives me. If I sent my wife to one of y'all and I told her, hey, take the checkbook and write so-and-so a check for $1 million, would you sit there and say, well, it ain't coming from Brother Jack? If Brother Jack wanted to give me $1 million, he need to come over here and show up himself. You ain't lost it that much. You're going to receive the one that was sent. And then if she ain't got the check, you'll be showing up now. Then you send your wife over there to me because she come and told me that you sent her to give me $1 million. You wouldn't have no problem with that. It's got to be the same when it comes to this word. Receive the vindicated prophet, a servant that God sent. He's reading John 13, 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whosoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. He says, a vindicated servant. Oh, brother, there's 1,000 sermons laying right here now. See, that's right. Oh, my, it's a law of God. Receive it. He goes on, Samuel come down and said, I want to ask you something. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass? No. Have I ever took up any offerings to build big buildings and do a great lot of thing and glorify myself? Nope. Has God approved to answer the word that I've said? Yep. Well, why don't you hear me? Jesus said to the Pharisees, we know you're born in fornication. And that's what the Pharisees said to him. We know you're born in fornication because it was a virgin birth. We know you're born in fornication. He said, which of you can condemn me of sin? Let me show you God's word and see if you believe it. See if God vindicates it in you. And let me speak of myself. If I speak of myself, I'm a liar. But if I speak of God and God speaks through me by his word, then it's the truth. He says, then who believes the word of God, me or you? He says, that had it. Jesus said, he that receives them that I send receives me. And that's just so important. You just can't reject the word and then say you're going back to the word. That don't work that way. You didn't reject the word to go back to the word. You actually left the word. That's what you did, right? He says, he that receives them that I send, and it just takes me back to, when we buried Brother Wesco, and the Lord just kind of put that little thought in my spirit. If you can receive it, right? If you can receive it, this is the, is this John here? Is he the messenger coming before you? Got a little bit too much feedback there. Is he the one that's doing this, one that's doing that? It says, if you can receive it, John is the one. That's the question. It's not whether God sent a prophet. It's if you can receive it that he sent a prophet. The pressure is on us. God done did what he promised that he was going to do. Now the pressure is on us as to whether we're going to believe it or not. Amen. And I've always asked the question. I had nobody answer it yet. If Brother Branham is not the fulfillment of Revelation 10:7 and Malachi 4:5-6, if he's not the one, because we can read it very plain in Scripture that God is sending somebody. And one thing we know for sure, that it's going to be a he. Certainly won't be a her. Right? We know that. We can all read that plainly. So if Brother Branham is not that one, then please help us. Help me. Show me who it is. Amen. I ain't seen nobody been able to answer that one yet. Praise the Lord. Let me go on a little further. I'm going to read this and we'll close here in a second. It says, Jesus said, he that receives them that I send receives me. And now them that he sends and them that receives me, receives him that sent me. Wish we had time to linger on that. Now look at this statement. Watch this statement. I had to underline it. You can only serve God as you do and believe the servant that God sends. Now, you can see Brother Branham trying to get these words out, and it probably didn't hit just the right way. So he kind of repeats it. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth by divine inspiration interprets the word to you. You get that is powerful. That is absolutely powerful. I'm gonna just throw a little something else on it. Just a little sauce. The Father is seeking for people to worship him. But he needs them to worship in a particular way. Not just any way that you want to worship. Just because folk can lift their hand and fall all over the floor and prostrate themselves, that ain't what we're talking about. God gave us very specific instruction. He says, I'm seeking for people that are worship me, but they need to worship me in a specific way. He said, and the way that he called it was spirit and truth. And it's a prophet that brings to you the truth. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth by divine inspiration interprets the word to you. Boy, that's powerful. So ain't no such thing as I'm leaving the message and I'm going to be still doing, no. You left Christ. You ain't leave the message, you left Christ. And now all it is a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look, this message is serious. And, you know, I've said that many times about, you know, you can't be leaving and doing this, and people get offended at that statement. When you get offended at that statement, it actually shows what's inside of you. A prophet goes out to the platform, and notice the sermon, Spoken Words of Original Seed. That was a very, very important sermon when he preached that. I want to say that one was 6 hours long. It was two parts he had to preach, one in the morning, one at night, and in the afternoon, because of how long it was. But it was extremely, extremely important. And one of his notes said, maybe I need to hold this back. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and say it. And when he finally gets it out, I said, you can't even serve God the right way. You ain't going to even understand the word. I mean, why? Sometimes you hear preachers that are preaching, and I listen, y'all. I listen. Where are you getting your inspiration from? I want to know. Where are you getting your inspiration? And I can tell you this. Somebody said, I'm getting it from the Bible. Okay. All right. Now, let me take you to Revelation 10 and 7. How you interpret that from the Bible? No, look. I mean, you have to go to some source in order to get understanding, because you ain't get that on your own. Praise the Lord. But I want to know, so what we have nowadays, and I'm going to just be honest, what I hear a lot of people do, because especially they don't really understand the King James Bible, so they go get one of these other Bibles. Hello. And one of the ones that they get, that a lot of them get, and it just makes so much sense to them, is the Amplified. Somebody gave me one of those one time. It was a preacher that left a message that gave me an Amplified Bible. Now, I don't want to follow his example. He just left a message with an Amplified Bible. I'm not going with him. And then I looked, because in the front of your Bible, it actually tell you the origin of how the Bible got to you. How was that Bible created? Just read it. And one day I'm sitting there looking at the Amplified. Okay, yeah, I'm understanding this. I'm understanding that. Man, that make a little bit more sense than that. And I got it out to Amplified. Like, you really got something. I start looking in front of that Bible. I said, how did this Bible get created? Come to find out that it was a very smart sister that these gentlemen got behind and said, we want her to write a Bible, and we're going to support her in writing the Bible. We're going to put all our money on her and let her write a Bible that makes it a little bit more easy for all of us to understand. I say, I won't be preaching from the Amplified anymore. No. I mean, we know that Eve got the wrong interpretation from the beginning. So ain't no way God going to do it like that. I don't see it that way. So I don't use that source. But I know a lot of people, rather than use what a prophet said, a vindicated prophet, and he had a seventh grade education. So he really wasn't, I mean, he not speaking over your head. But it's going to take time for you to dig in there and get these nuggets out of there and bring that, because eagles need to eat eagle food. Praise the Lord. And I had to tell some young brothers before, look, man, if you want to go preach to the denomination church, go ahead, man, take that. Take your YouTube sermon and take it right on over there and preach it at the denomination church. But we want eagle food. Amen. We want eagle food. Now, if I had a denominational preacher come in here and preach, we know not to expect anymore. Like one time we did. Y'all remember that, right? It didn't shake the church. Y'all scared? Because that's what he preached, right? He said, I ain't scared. y'all don't remember them things. I ain't scared. And we not scared. I mean, this man ain't never been to my church one time in life. And the Lord told me to come here. The Lord told you to preach, huh? Preach, bro. And boy, he went to town on Psalm 23. Praise the Lord. God bless you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for your word. We really appreciate it. Glory to God. Amen, church. If that happens, you know what I'm saying, we can handle that. We can handle that. We understand. But you say you believe this message? I need to know where your source, where you're getting your inspiration from. What tape were you listening to when you got that? Well, I wasn't listening to no tape. I just went to the amplified. My head be going down. I'm just being honest with you. We got a vindicated word. Use it. And I'm going to tell you something. What we just read here, you can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends. He says you can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth by divine inspiration interprets the word to you. Not the amplified interpret it to you, but the divine prophet interprets the word to you. And now you got a message that you can run with. Now look at what he say. You believe that? You want to put down some scriptures for it? It says 1 Corinthians 14:16. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Also 11:1, Luke 10:16. See what he said? It says what Jesus said there, Luke 10:16. Believe, we're right close to it here. Let's see what it says one time here, Luke 10:16, while they're writing the rest of them down. Now that's 1 Corinthians 14:16, also 11:1, and Luke 10:16. Now let's just read. I'm getting to Luke 10:16 here just to read. While you all looking at the other now, just for a moment, all right, here. Here we are. It says, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. That proves that God speaks his message through his servants, always has. That's right. Boy, I tell you what. Israel, we can see, rejected God as their king back there in the book of Samuel. But folk are doing the exact same today, They're rejecting God when they're rejecting his messenger. Because you can't even serve God the right way unless you serve him underneath the inspiration and interpretation of the word that God has sent. This is how we serve him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us stop there for tonight. We'll pick this up. There is so much more. Let me just see one thing here. Let me read this a short one. Let me read this, and then I'll let it go. In adoption, it says, and as background of my message tonight, still from Sunday sermon, they rejected Samuel with the word of the Lord and accepted Saul, the son of Kish, and rejected Samuel, which represented the Holy Spirit because he only spoke as the Spirit led him to speak. And when he called their attention to it, he said, remember, I've never said nothing in the name of the Lord but what the Lord brought to pass. Neither have I walked misbehavingly before you, and no one can accuse me of sin. Like Jesus said, who can condemn me of sin? See, and it said again that I have not come to you and begged you for money and so forth. I've not took nothing from you, but all that I've said has been for your good, that I've brought to you from the mouth of the Lord, and all the people gave witness that it's true. All that's true, but still we want to have a king. We want to be like the rest of the world. All right. Okay. I can stop there because we'll turn a corner the next time we pick this up. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we are grateful for the word of the Lord. Just looking here at Samuel and what happened, and Israel's history, but yet bringing it forward to see what's happening even right now. Your prophet has given us a great challenge. The way that we serve you, the way that we please you, God, is to be able to receive a vindicated servant of God. One that you have sent. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us ears to be able to hear, eyes to be able to see. Lord, and lives that we want to align ourselves with the truth that has been given to us. Father, we pray that, Lord, you would just continue to direct us. This word is serious. And just as Israel, they made a decision at that time, and it was a bad decision. Lord, it affected them for generations. Help us, Lord, to realize we can make really bad decisions that could affect generations. So, Lord, we want to be led of your Spirit. We want to be certain of you. We want to be clear that you have spoken to us and that you have given us direction. And that direction will always cause us to be led by the word, not by feelings, not by emotions, but by the word. So I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to apply what we have heard. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me get tonight's announcements. All right. So Sunday morning we'll be back for service. Prayer will start at 8:30. Sunday school from 8:45 to 9:15, and then service will start at 9:30 a.m. And our streaming continues through through Facebook as well as our church website. At Facebook, we can be found at SAT Tabernacle, and the website is john423.org. On Friday night, we are planning to have a rehearsal for the musicians. So that's at 7 p.m. on Friday night, the 17th. So all of our musicians, if you all remember that. We have a young adult fellowship coming up on Saturday, November 8th. And this is for ages 18 and up. That's going to be happening at the Murangami home. So that's from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, November 8th. So put that on your calendar. And they say they'll have more information to come in the group chat. Amen, in the group chat. So keep that in mind. Also, our giving is multiple ways. We have Zelle, PayPal, Cash App. Zelle being the preferred method because they do not take fees. But be sure that if you use Zelle, that you use giving at john423.org. It's the same for PayPal. If you use Cash App, it's $SpiritandTruthT. And we also have our mailing address on the bottom of the screen. And those that are in the sanctuary, we do have a box on the back table, a wooden box that you can put your giving in as you exit or as you enter. Praise the Lord. All right. Do we have any praise reports that want to be shared tonight? Yeah, okay, sis, come on up. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Yeah, just pick that one up there. Just slide it up. There you go. Press the button.
God bless.
Bless you.
I'm going to keep it really short. Since July, I've been out of work. I was laid off working with a company for 2 years and just got laid off. This was around the time we were doing the July meetings. So I really went into that meeting with high expectations. There was a lot of blessings going along, and you know, I was in every meeting wanting to at least grab something for me. It's been 3 months, but today I was offered a position with a company at the salary that I was expecting. Also, the medical, they are covering that 100%. So just been blessed with a job and wanted to share that. So.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, sis. So happy for you. Amen. Devil, meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And, you know, I know that that's a testimony that others need to hear. So what we just heard is that the angel is troubling the water for those that need work. Hallelujah. It's time to get in because God is moving. God is providing jobs. He's in the neighborhood. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Amen. Anybody else want to share tonight? Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate you all. Let us have a word of prayer, and we'll prepare to dismiss tonight. Father, we are so grateful to hear this wonderful news of how you have blessed Sister Shanice, where the enemy comes in and takes something from her, but you have a way of giving it right back. And we ask, God, your blessings upon her. She goes into this new position, and God, that you would just give her favor. We also pray for others, Lord. I know that are in the room tonight that are also looking for you to provide. You are Jehovah Jireh, and you have never failed. Every season of our life, God, we can look back and see that you have never fail. And if you have not failed, then you won't fail, because that's not a part of who you are. So Father, we pray for others, Lord, that you would just begin to move. May phone calls, God, be received. Emails be received. And Father, you know exactly what the people are applying for. So open up doors that they're not even expecting you to open. And Father, do the exceeding, the abundant above all we can ask or think. We thank you in advance, Lord. We believe this testimony will spark many other testimonies. And Lord, we're just trusting that you will move by your Spirit. Father, we also want to remember Brother Marquise and his family in prayer, his grandmother who had to be rushed to the hospital. Lord, we pray a special touch on her. We have seen you do that for her before, so we know you're more than capable of doing it again. So we ask that you move by your Spirit on his grandmother and just help them navigate through this. Bless the doctors and nurses that's been assigned to her care and let them do well by her. Father's our prayer. Some of the saints, Lord, that'll be traveling this weekend, we pray you give them all traveling mercies, that you watch over them, their families, that you would keep them until they return. And just ask, oh God, that you would get all the glory and all the honor out of all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It's Brother Quentin's birthday today, y'all. Amen. So we should sing happy birthday to Brother Quentin, since, amen, he's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother Quentin. Happy birthday to you. Oh, praise the Lord. We certainly thank God, amen, for our precious, precious brother. Am I still, can y'all just cut me just for a second? I just need to mention something here really, really quick, real quick, real quick. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. All right. Just nothing big. To me, it's big. But on Sunday,